In today's gospel, we see and hear a very, very, very busy Jesus. He's always serving and giving and healing and preaching. He appears like a spiritual energizer bunny. In fact, throughout the Gospel of Mark, the favorite word of Mark is not grace or love or even God. His favorite word in the entire gospel is the word immediately. And so throughout the gospel, we see Jesus in constant activity, and no more so anywhere than in this gospel. For night and day, he is much sought after by people. Folk follow him around the edge of the Sea of Galilee while he multitasks his way around the sandy shore. Now, if anyone should be exhausted at the end of the day, it's Jesus. But what is Jesus' secret? What keeps him going? You know what I'm going to say. Going and going and going. What keeps him going? Always seeking to meet human need. Always available to help. One answer is found in our Hebrew scriptures this morning. The promise of Isaiah the prophet. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You don't even have to give me a $20 bill. I promise you I will not sing the scripture song that goes with this. Those of you who know that one. I might do it tonight at the service. Not today. Jesus found it possible to live successfully in the ebb and flow between busyness and quiet, between silence and activity. In fact, before or after every major turning point in Christ's life, after his baptism in the Jordan River, before the calling of the 12 apostles, and the night before he died for us, Jesus turned his attention away from the busyness of life to solitary prayer to God. And the Gospels universally report that time and again, Jesus stole away from the busyness of life to spend some time with his Father. But how do we wait on the Lord? Where do we get our energy and our resources? And how do we replenish our souls? One way we do so is by allowing God to give us a gift, the gift of focused awareness. I learned this anew recently during my week of vacation in Florida. I left on Monday morning at 7 a.m., Martin Luther King Day, and by 2:30, I was by the pool. Sun, warmth. And it took me, those of you who know me will not be surprised, it took me 2 or 3 days into this trip to disengage from my busy schedule. Thoughts about work and ministry and family swirled around in my head. But then probably by Wednesday, maybe Thursday morning, slowly the roiling waters subsided and calmed. And somewhere along in that week, my spirit became like the swimming pool or like a calm ocean, clear and deep. Once again, I found that peaceful center within that doesn't waver or change. But this isn't just a vacation thing. It's a life practice to carve out a little bit of time and place each day to grow still, to ponder the depths of who we are, and the wonder of who God is. It's tough to do, isn't it, right? Columnist Courtney Martin definitely gets it. And this is probably the longest quote I've ever read in a sermon, but I'm going to read it. Of multitasking, Courtney writes, "I feel triumphant. I feel like I've fooled the universe into letting me squeeze it all in. I'm a conductor in a Wonder Woman cape, wildly flapping my arms in front of the orchestra that is my life. And somehow I've got everybody and everyone and everything playing in sync. Listen to that crescendo, people. But you know what? If I'm honest with myself, she writes, it's just at those moments of diabolical illusion that everything comes crashing down, including my ego. I burn myself while trying to roast cauliflower, text with my cousin, and keep my baby busy all at once. Or I show up at the airport with a terrible dehydration headache and without my phone charger. Or I forget the birthday of someone I love very much, and suddenly that under-control inbox doesn't seem so awesome. Can you relate to that observation? I certainly can. Multitasking is a defining skill in our Western world, but sometimes it can be our greatest challenge also. It's only when we slow down a little bit and take time to live into the moment that God has given us that we can once again find that core center of energy. As Isaiah writes, wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. Henry Nouwen wrote about this in his brilliant book, Reaching Out, Three Movements of the Spiritual Life. How many of you know who Henry Nouwen is? Come on. Good. Oh, good. Well, I'm going to explain anyway. He was a Dutch Catholic priest who spent most of his adult life ministering in a series of communities of people with disabilities called La Arche. From that unique vantage point, Nouwen describes three movements in our spiritual life. The first movement, from loneliness to solitude, focuses on the spiritual life as it relates to our experience of who we are. First, we learn to be alone with ourselves, in solitude without loneliness. Alone, but not lonely. We get more comfortable with who God created us to be. Now, one way we can do this is by taking some time just to look in the mirror. And I have to admit, I'm not a good practitioner. I wish I was a vampire, you know, where your reflection didn't show in the mirror, because I don't like looking at myself. But just do that sometime and observe yourself and appreciate yourself as a gift to and from God. It also helps sometimes just to stop, and this is what I do more often, it's a little easier. Take a look at your own hands. They're creased, perhaps, like mine. Maybe dirty, perhaps callous from work. But they are created by God and capable of creating a new future with God's help. Like our hands and our bodies, and our feet. Our whole selves were created for God, not apart from God, but with God. And sometimes we just need to stop and acknowledge that truth. Now, the second movement for Nouwen is an interesting one. It's from hostility to hospitality. And this movement deals with how we relate to others in our spiritual life. And now one says, out of our solitude, God allows us to create a unique place of welcome for other people. That very space where we accept ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, becomes the place where other people can be welcomed. And most importantly, they can be who they are in our presence, just as God accepts and loves us in Jesus Christ. This, too, is a work of divine grace. It's not something we manufacture or create. That hospitable space is a gift given to us by God. And this is the most beautiful part of it. St. Matthew's is that place for me, and I think it is for many of us. But we also take that space with us wherever we go. It isn't something we have to go to. It's part of our lives. Nouwen's third and final movement is from illusion to prayer. And this is where the practice of focused awareness makes the most profound difference. It doesn't just change how we view ourselves, although it does do that. And it doesn't just change the way we interact with the world, although it does that. It makes a substantial difference in our relationship to God. That mystery, the most deep mystery of our relationship and our deepening communion with God. To go back to Christ, he lived in constant communion with himself, with the world he loves, and with the one who created all. And as Christ lived here on earth, so we are called to live every moment, bidden and unbidden. We are as much in God's presence as we are present to our deepest selves in our physical world. Over the door to the home of Dr. Carl Jung, there is a quote. It's beautiful. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. Nouwen emphasizes that the more we understand and accept and not simply deny who we are in our inner struggles, the more we will be capable of a prayerful, committed, genuine life with God, and also, by extension, open to observing and meeting others' needs. It's a tall order. It takes time, lots of time. But with Christ's help, with God's help, it's possible. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. These words were first spoken in 540 BC to the Israelites in exile. When they first heard the prophet's words, they were alone, far from their homeland in Babylon. However, as this promise was spoken over them, as it is over us, they began living on the cusp of something new, something challenging. St. Matthew's continues our journey together in deep discernment about where God is leading us. A group of adventurers, I would call them the astronauts, are going to meet today after church and begin that deeper discernment as a committed group, and we join them in spirit. But you know what? I think it goes beyond that. I think each of us, during this coming Lent, can take that journey that the Israelites made for ourselves. It's a journey of coming home to yourself, coming home to your God and your faith. And if that is where you are today, let us take time to wait, to listen, to accept, and be renewed in God's love. Amen.